Time for us to talk a little hockey right now as we welcome back to the studio our friend. You know him from the television and, well, the radio too, Mike Toole. Welcome.
Hello, Richard. It's
nice
good to
see
be
you.
With you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me in on a snowy day.
How is the ongoing recovery from your surgery?
Slow, arduous, painful, but progress continues, you know, physical therapy, you know. Getting back a little more range of motion in
my hand.
And stuff, and hope to be back out there shredding on my guitar soon.
Good.
Coming to a local dive near you.
We look forward to that. Boy, Maine hockey.
Yeah.
It's going great. And last weekend, it was, like old times again at the Alphond.
Yeah. It's like, wow, you look around and what year is this? It felt like the mid to late 90s.
Mm.
And it was just great. You know, I knew we were in for a big weekend because Maine has been playing pretty well down the stretch. And 6-1-3, actually, in their last 10 games. And, the team was picked to finish last by the coaches.
Yeah.
And now they're in sixth and could end up in fifth. Well, that's quite an improvement.
Oh, yeah.
And... the way they're playing is just, you can see the progression from the beginning of the year, really from last year to this year. The way they're playing is just, it inspires a lot more confidence. They still struggle to score goals, even though they had a nice weekend against BC. But that's coming on the heels of kind of an offensive stinker down at UNH for two games down there. As soon as I went to a shootout both nights, I knew Maine was in trouble. They struggle with shootouts. But look, the positive is, how they move the puck, how they play a 60-minute game now, how they play a 200-foot game, all three zones, and now all four lines. You had production out of all four lines on Friday night against Boston College. And whenever anything breaks down, well, then there's Victor Osman.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. Friday night was the place was really energetic, and then Saturday was sold out. And honestly, I would not have been surprised if Maine maybe hadn't prevailed Saturday night, because you expect pushback from Boston College,
right?
And by the way, you got it. I mean, Maine had dominated the first period in terms of shots on goal and scoring chances, but BC, and of course, they had four power play opportunities in the first period, which always helps. And when you get those power plays, you get, if you have good power play success, and doesn't always mean that you score a goal, but you get chances, move the puck confidently, you get into your offensive rhythm. That's what happened in the first period. And then Boston College pushed back, and Maine took a couple penalties. The next thing you know, Maine is back on their heels a little bit. At the end of the game, the last 3 minutes, Boston College pulls their goaltender, I guess, with 2 minutes or so to go, and they had no bullets left in their gun. They fired everything they had at Victor Osman, hit one pipe. Their top scorer, Gauthier, was set up in the slot perfectly, missed the net. There were a couple of just point-blank chances, and Victor Osman came up huge, and Maine was able to prevail, which is important for a number of reasons, but the difference between this team at the beginning of the season and at the end of the season is they understand what it takes to win, and they also understand what it takes to win on the second night against a high-quality opponent like Boston College. So they had, early in the season, they had two weekend games against Northeastern. First night, I think they tied. The next night, they got blown out. Quinnipiac, they beat Quinnipiac. Next night, you get beat. Good teams push back within games, and then also... from game to game. In Boston College, Maine beat Boston College down there earlier in February, and then beat them pretty soundly Friday night. And I was kind of expecting, can you beat Boston College three times in 1 year? Man, I don't know. But they did, and the way they did it was, persevering and sticking to the game plan, and somehow finding a way to win, which was not always the case early in the year. So you see progression from the beginning of the season to the end. Main skating on any given night, 7 or 8 or 9 freshmen. These guys are pretty well battle-hardened at this point. You can't think of them as rookies anymore. They see so much ice time and quality ice time. And so quite a difference from the beginning of the year to the end. And now the encouraging thing is they're really playing their best hockey down the stretch. So that's what you want going into the playoffs.
Good recognition for Lyndon Breen, named Hockey East Player of the Month. What's been the key to his success this season?
Finishing, I would say. I mean, he's figured out a way to finish. He's been a volume shooter since he's been at Maine. I mean, he seems to get a lot of pucks on net. He seems to miss the net a lot, seems to. But now he's getting his shots on target. He's always been dangerous. He's figured out, I think, when to distribute and when to go for it. He's found his way into the let's call it the soft area of the defense. He's found his way into getting into scoring position. And then on the penalty kill, it's just so opportunistic. He's really figured out when there's a legitimate chance to go for it, because that was his default setting prior to this season. He was always going for it. I mean, credit him, but you can't go for it every time you get the puck, because you can't leave your team exposed defensively. So he's figured out, you know, the right times to go for it. And as I said before, he's found a way to finish around the net. So you combine that with, you know, opportunistic, hard, you know, work on the penalty kill and so forth, and it's just kind of come together for him down the stretch. And Maine really needs a leader. They need an offensive leader, and he's clearly it.
So this weekend, UMass comes to town, the regular season finale this weekend.
Right.
UMass been struggling much of the year, but they're playing a little bit better hockey lately.
Sure. They've got a lot of freshmen in their lineup too. So you look up and down the lineup, they have quite a few of them. And so they're probably, you know, going through a lot of the same things that Maine's gone through the last few years. For what it's worth, UNH, you know, is playing better. And, you know, teams do get better throughout the course of the season. And you see the standings kind of get compressed. And that's why coming down the stretch, we always talk about playing your best hockey, because those points, even though they mean the same as in October, they seem to have even more meaning, because you get leapfrog moves in the standings. So, Maine is not the type of team that can look past anybody. They know that. But there is definitely some familiarity, because that's where Coach Barr came from. There's, you know, people left from that regime. He certainly has an understanding of Coach Carville and what he does. I suppose the same can be said of Coach Barr. I'm sure they share a lot of common philosophy, but it's understood around the league that Coach Barr has done a tremendous job with this team, and they're definitely trending in the right direction at the right time. And now people are breaking their leg getting onto the bandwagon, which is awesome. I mean, you know, let's understand. It's been a long time, and I knew it would only be a matter of time before, you know, it would be obvious the team was trending. You could see it in their play earlier in the year. It wasn't showing up in the one loss record.
Well, no,
now
you
is.
Told us that back early in the year, that the signs were there.
Yeah, they were. And now it's starting to translate into wins. And people around here are starved for a winning hockey team. And now you're getting it, and so people are coming out of the woodwork, and it's fantastic. I had to try to get an extra ticket for my granddaughter. My son brought my grandson Saturday night, and of course my granddaughter wants to go along too, and now it's like I'm struggling to get a ticket for her, and there weren't any to be had. Of course, I know people, right? I played the "Do you know who I am" card. And after I got shot down 3 or 4 times, I finally found somebody who knew who I was.
Yeah.
And he happened to be in the ticket office.
Nice,
so,
nice.
So thank you to Logan Desmond in the ticket office for getting me the extra ticket for Annabelle.
Well, let me ask you about that.
Yeah.
So how much of a difference does it make? Because, I mean, you you've been around this team for, well, decades, since the beginning.
Are you saying I'm old?
No, when you were just a young whippersnapper up there. But how much of a difference does it make, particularly in a game like Saturday, which was a close game, to have that place rocking and have those fans making noise again?
It's the extra attacker. You know, it's like you have an extra skater on the ice. There is no question about it. And it wasn't all that long ago where Maine, you know, wasn't able to take advantage of that home ice. It's not the ice itself. It's not the fact that you're home. It's the fact that 5,000 people are screaming for you. And every coach, even when attendance wasn't what it was last weekend, every coach knows that Alphon is a tough place to play. And even when attendance wasn't what it was last weekend, it's still better than a lot of schools on their best nights.
Right, right.
And, you know, I was watching the game with BC on ESPN Plus a few weeks ago down at BC. There's a lot of empty seats. There was not a lot of people there, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, okay. It's really true. Now you can see it because all the games are on ESPN Plus. But you look at some of these other rinks, and they're sometimes there's crickets, you know.
Well, and it's great to have the students in there, man. You know, the football team showing up and making noise. It's
no doubt.
Fantastic.
No doubt. You know, they could work on certain language and so forth and etiquette, but etiquette kind of goes out the window when the puck drops.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it really is a difference maker. And it makes it just that much harder for teams to come into Alphon and be successful. And I think that was part of the reason, certainly Saturday night. I mean, that was a close hockey game. And in the first period, I really thought Boston College was rattled. They took four penalties. And they were really undisciplined and kind of, you know, unnecessary and kind of one after the other. And so that's usually an indication that the team is, you know, out of sync, out of sorts, maybe a little intimidated. But man, I'm telling you, that's a highly skilled team. And I thought Saturday night, it wouldn't surprise me if they came back and maybe won that game. And they certainly came back and they were dominant at the end of the game. They have 10 NHL draft picks.
Whew.
Maine has zero.
Right.
They have. I think it's like five or six guys off from the U.S. National Development Team. Those guys are hockey Navy SEALs when they come out. When they come out of that program, they are battle-hardened and they are ready to go. And they got half a dozen of them. Maine has none. Okay. So I'm just thinking to myself after Friday night, I'm thinking, man, I'll bet those guys think they're better than Maine. Wouldn't you? As
right.
a kid,
yeah, sure.
And you got all these draft picks and all these guys with all they have the pedigree, and they're coming from Boston, and they're coming up to Maine to teach Maine a lesson. Well, they got schooled Friday night, and I thought, well, man, they're just not going to settle for that Saturday. And sure enough, they came out after the first period, as I said, which was more Maine, had a lot to do with the power play opportunities. But man, as the game went on, they were bringing it to Maine, and they're a highly skilled team, and Maine still found a way to win. And you can credit certainly part of it to the crowd.
We're talking with Mike Toole here on Downtown. Black Bears taking on UMass this weekend. Well, let's look past the weekend. We know they're in the playoffs. We know they've got home ice in the first round. Is there a matchup that you think might be most favorable for the Bears in the opening round?
Well, I know Coach Barr isn't even thinking that way. In fact, he said to me, I don't even look at the standings. I mean, I'm sure he's aware of where they are, but he doesn't really look at them. Hockey East is known as a league where just winning against any team is difficult on any given night. Theoretically, the best matchup for Maine would be Vermont. If they finish where they are now, that's who they would get. I would love for them to match up against UNH, but that doesn't appear likely. They could be right back with UMass. So we'll see how they do against UMass this weekend. They could actually finish fifth and not have a first round playoff, although that's probably unlikely.
Right, right.
But if you look at who Maine, who everyone else is playing, Providence has to go. So Maine's tied with six with Providence, but they get the tiebreaker. So they have to play BU home and away. Boston College has to do home and away with UConn. UNH has got one game left. They play Vermont. UMass Lowell has Northeastern for a home and home. So everyone else has to play, with the exception of UNH. Everybody else has to play top-tier teams. Maine gets UMass, which on paper, you know, they're the 10th team. It would seem to favor Maine taking points this weekend and at least holding their position. Could they move up to overtake? I think it's UMass Lowell. I can look it up here. Yeah, be UMass Lowell. They're 4 points behind UMass Lowell, but UMass Lowell has to play Northeastern, the number three team in the conference, and offensively a very difficult team. So it's possible. Selfishly, I'd like to have a home playoff game.
Yeah,
wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Philly Alphon, right. People going nuts. Wednesday night, midweek, it would be great. It would be a very unproductive day on Thursday, I'm sure of it. But I'm willing to sacrifice that for the program.
There you go. Well, it's just great to be at this point again.
Yes.
People excited about the Black Bears. I think whoever they play, you feel like Maine can beat anybody in Hockey East the way they're playing right now. And that's what you want heading into postseason.
I don't like the matchup with BU, but other than that, but even then, it's possible on any given night. And mm-hmm. BU, after schooling Maine up here, they went on a kind of a, I think it was a 4-game losing streak, including the bean pot and all
right,
that.
Right.
So, yes, you're right. And then, of course, in the next round, Maine would have to travel to wherever.
Right.
So, you know, you don't get the benefit of home ice at that point. But anything's possible. Maine is playing the game the right way. As I said earlier, playing with a lot more confidence. Their power play is back up to 18%. Their penalty killing is, I think it's almost 82%. Excuse me. So special teams are coming around. Even when Maine doesn't score on the power play, they generally get quality looks. They get set up in the offensive zone, move the puck around. And you can get momentum from a power play like that. Even though you don't score, you can get your offensive mojo going, so to speak. Okay. And by the way, you know, even UMass, if you look at their record, you'd say, oh, they're not great, but their power play is 26% proficient.
Mm-hmm.
Penalty killing 82. So you've heard me say it before. It's the 80-20 rule. You got to be 20% effective on your power play, at least 80% proficient on your penalty kill, in order to really challenge and go anywhere. And UMass, in spite of their record and their place in the standings, has one of the better power play percentages in the conference. So Maine's going to have to be disciplined. They have struggled with that in the past. You know, they're going to have to play a structured game and you know, stick to their game plan. But all signs point to points.
Yeah,
this weekend.
We were talking yesterday in here about the TV broadcasts are great, but we also love it when you pop in post game and talk with John Shields and break it all down.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's so much fun. I don't know. We just kind of started doing that on a whim a couple of years ago. Larry's got a deadline, so once the game's over, he's writing and he's got to get down and get interviews from players and whatnot. And John's got a lot of air to fill.
Yes.
At the end of the game, and he's got to, and it just kind of, I don't know, just it's another perspective, and so I enjoy doing it a lot. And John's great to work with, and he's grown immensely in that job. If I'm sure you've noticed in the last couple years, and to the point where I gave him a call yesterday, I said, you know, if for somehow Maine ends up on the road in the playoffs, if Larry doesn't go, I'd be interested in.
Nice.
I don't want to go to UConn and leave on Friday and come back at 2:00 Sunday morning. But if you got to go do a down and back to Merrimack, Northeastern, you know,
right?
I'll be a passenger.
Keep in that 4-hour window, and you can.
Yeah, man. That's, you know, you got to be careful what you wish for, because that's a long day. But it would be worth it. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, you're the boss, right?
No, not even close. I'm not the boss of anything. I'm a passenger most of the time.
Oh, well, okay. All right. Well, we look
in my
forward
family
to it.
Anyway, I am.
So. Oh, I know that. Well, look right. forward to it as always, Mike. Great to see you. Thanks for stopping in this
awesome.
Afternoon.
Great to be with you, Rich and Carrie. It's great to see you guys. And let's go Maine. Go yeah. Blue.
We'll be watching and listening this all weekend. Right. Maine and UMass. Our Black Bear Reports are brought to you here on Downtown. Well, by ClearPoint Capital. Give Mike Tool a call.
How about that? Jeez, thanks for the love, Rich.
Call Mike at 307-7718. And by Bennett Auto Center, 24 Thatcher Street, Bangor. See Tom Bennett and the crew for everything from oil changes to engine jobs. From experienced local people you can trust, find them online at BennettAutoCenter.com.